This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
You saw a team last night in the series, the Celtics, that wants it. You can tell that they want it.
We got to compete. That's what we did. We competed. We got stops when we needed to. Rebound. And that's what it's all about.
They wanted it. And you're sitting here asking yourself, does Kyrie really want it?
Got to make some moves this offseason and really talk about it. Really be intentional about what we're building and have some fun with it.
My answer, does Kyrie really want it, is no.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All the big 7 o'clock hour. DPHRO Rothenberg is always presented by Progressive Insurance. How you could be a Nets fan and wake up this morning and have any positivity is beyond me. Your team just soiled themselves in a series that many expected them to win. But here's the thing. Nobody, even if you like Boston to win this series, nobody thought the Celtics were going to sweep away the Nets. That was an awful performance. I don't even know what to say at this point, other than I am disgusted with this Brooklyn Nets team.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, I mean, it's another year. It's another disappointment. Right? I mean, you have 3 years. 3 years with KD.
Well, two really, right? If you don't count
Well, I'm just saying, it's a year. I mean, it's the guy's 33. He'll be 34. It's a year. He didn't play. He was coming back from the Achilles and everything, but it's still, you're burning a year of his career.
You know what's amazing? So year one, you didn't have Kevin Durant. And correct me if I'm wrong, who'd they play in that first round? Was it Philly or Toronto? I forget now.
Well, remember, go back to Kyrie didn't want anyone going to the bubble. The vice president of the Players Association didn't consult with the president, was just telling people that you shouldn't go play in the bubble.
Correct. But of the 3 years that this team has been constituted, even though Durant didn't play year one, this was the worst of the three seasons, and this was the healthiest of the three.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it ultimately ends up being the healthiest, just because of last year with Kyrie getting hurt and then James Harden getting hurt with the hamstring. But there were a bunch of different circumstances this year.
Well,
it hasn't been smooth.
An amalgam of just awful circumstances.
Good word.
You're right.
It's a nice word right there.
Amalgam?
That is a really nice word.
Thank you. You can use it. You can borrow it. I'm not territorial with my words, with my verbiage. No.
Listen, sharing is caring, Dave.
I think so. You know what? Let me ask you this. Is there any positivity you take away from this next season? Because I got to be honest, I don't see it. Not one thing do I look at and say, okay, that. Well, look at that. We have that.
I think there's a lot of questions. I think there was much more positivity after what happened last season. KD was great. I mean, you're a big toe away from beating Milwaukee, right? And then you can explain. Kyrie got hurt.
Right. You didn't have Kyrie.
James Harden's on one leg.
And you still last year, you weren't thrilled that he lost in the second round, but you understood why. This year, you don't understand why, right?
You understand.
This is an embarrassment.
No, you understand why. You just don't like the answers.
But at least there was kind of a built-in excuse last year. There's no excuse this year.
Well, have you listened to Steve Nash? All he did was build an excuse.
Just because this guy can come up with any excuse under the sun doesn't mean it's appropriate.
That's your coach.
It's not my coach.
Well, he's the one that sets the agenda for the team.
We heard it earlier. Let's hear it again for people just getting going on this Tuesday morning. This is amazing. Steve Nash, did your Nets underperform?
It's tough. You know, I think when you add it all up, it's hard to say they underperformed because they just played so few games together, so little time together, and then to be just so outsized at every position. You know, I think it would be unfair for me, I think, to overreact and say, 4-0 in the first round. You know, when you add up all the things that went on, the state of the roster by the end of the season, the fatigue, and if we could do to all the things we went through, I think it would be harsh for me. We never wanted to give up on our expectations, even though we were, under duress. You know, at the same time, you kind of have to have a realistic view as well of where we were at the end of the year.
What would underperforming be for this guy?
With all that, I don't even know how they showed up and played.
I mean, good for them. Just the fact that they were able to make it to the arena, you got to give them credit.
Huh.
What would be, if this was not underperforming, what would underperforming be for Steve Nash?
not getting through the play-in, maybe?
Getting ousted there?
The entirety of your season was a disappointment.
This is
the exclamation point on a wasted season, because that's what this was. This was a wasted season.
A complete waste. I mean, the whole Kyrie thing made it very uncomfortable. Kevin Durant's injury, James Harden, the way he acted. I mean, this was a saga.
This is a soap opera. It's exactly what I mean. And listen, I mean, most championship teams or teams that are trying to win a championship, I mean, one of the most important things is to limit distractions, right? Quiet the noise. That's all this team is distraction and noise.
Could you imagine if this team played, was a Knicks team?
No.
People would, I mean, you would lose your mind.
And then Ben Simmons shows up, and it's more of the same. It's more distractions.
It's even worse.
It's more noise. And then, you know what? I would have had more respect for him if he had just shown up last night and doubled down on it. Instead of hearing what everyone was saying, hearing what, you know, Stephen A. was saying, you know, everyone criticizing him.
But he hears the noise.
Well, now, of course, he does, because he was supposed to play, then it was a sore back, but now it's the sore back with, more importantly, the mental hurdles that we still have to get over. But there was still a chance that he could play game five if they won game four. Well, hold on. If we're talking about serious mental hurdles, in 2 days, we can get over those mental hurdles to get you back for game five?
So I didn't even
realize what are we talking
that.
About?
There was a chance that he was going to be able to play game five after being announced out for game four?
Yeah, there was still hope.
Oh, my God. I mean, stop it. I mean, here's the thing. You knew it. Anybody with half a brain knew this guy was not coming back. Well, he can't play game three, but don't worry, he'll be there game four. Now he's not going to play game four, but there's a chance he can play game five? How many times before you admit that you're the fool in this saga, in this scenario with Ben Simmons? He's played us the whole time.
Well, yeah, he played us, but he played them too. I mean, there was a reason why Woj said what he said. Like, Woj was given surprised and disappointed. Like, he was told that they were surprised. So, I mean, they have him in the building every day. Like, they're talking to him every day. So, if they were surprised, like, how could I, as someone that doesn't, you know, get a chance, I'm not privy to all that information, how would I not be surprised? I'm going with what the guy's telling me.
Well, because, I mean, look at the path that he's led us on.
Yeah, but I'm ramped up.
Season.
But hold on. You're right. And you're not wrong, right? But, I mean, I'm getting ramped. Okay, you know, we had the epidural. Things calmed down. All of a sudden now, we're ramping it up. I'm telling everybody, okay, I'm telling you right now, I feel good, no pain, no pain, no pain, 10 days, no pain, and then all of a sudden, can't play Saturday, but I'm telling you guys, I'll be there for you Monday, and then just mysteriously on Sunday, now he's sore?
Well, there's soreness, and on top of that, the mental issues are back.
Brooklyn has some serious soul searching to do this offseason.
But you don't even think it's serious soul searching. You think it's clear as the day is long. You think you just go back to battle with these guys again, right?
I don't see the way out for them.
So that you doesn't, almost that feel doesn't like include, you're now hooked. There's nothing at this point that you can do.
You've given up all control. I know it's fun on Twitter for people to talk about, you know, what Kyrie said last night about sitting down with, you know, Kev and Steve and Joe and mapping out the future. But that's, I mean, he's not lying.
Oh,
they
no,
handed
no, no.
Over
he absolutely believes
Well, because
that.
That's what's happened. They've handed over control of this franchise to Kyrie and KD. And I say Kyrie first because I think it's Kyrie really the one that's driving this thing.
So Kevin Durant empowers Kyrie, and now Kyrie is going to run with that power and say, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah, and KD is loyal to Kyrie.
I wish
you saw
I
that with
why?
The whole James Harden stuff.
Why is he so
loyal
guy. To him?
It's his
but
guy.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, you have
even
to ask
if you had a guy, even if you had a guy, if he led you down a path that was not best for you, would he still be your guy?
It would depend on how much I value the friendship.
I mean, you better just love this guy.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing.
Because he's hurting the legacy of Kevin Durant.
Well, he is, yeah. But this is why, because ultimately, if they don't win a championship, this is going to stick with KD. Because I think KD's at a different level than Kyrie is, legacy-wise. Like, I think everyone recognizes that, you know, Kyrie, talent-wise, is one of the best we've ever seen. But as far as, you know...
Yeah, Kevin Durant is up there.
We start talking about greatest to play the game. Like, that's where KD is in that kind of conversation. Like, that's where he's at. And this series is going to hurt him.
Terribly.
Like, the first three games weren't good.
No, he was
KD
awful.
Was not good in the first three games.
He was awful. I mean, if you look at those numbers and you look at the way he played and he looked overwhelmed, that was I'll say this. Guy's been in the league for forever. Do you ever remember Kevin Durant looking that lost in a postseason series? Anything close to it?
No. No, I mean, there were some stats, and I think the reason why everyone kept leaning into, you know, them figuring it out, I mean, there was, I think I saw the number, KD in the postseason after a loss, I think he was averaging almost 40 points a game, something crazy like that. Like, that's who he's been. And Boston found a way to just to make him
look average.
Yeah, I mean, he was discombobulated. Games. He still had 20, you know, 21 turnovers in the four games. Like, that's a lot of turnovers, man.
Sure is. Let's get to some of the calls because people are lined up here. Jason in the taxi. Good morning, Jason. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing really well.
I was just wondering, you were talking about what positives we might be able to take away from this season. These guys have been malcontents for a long time, even on winning teams. Is there any way that this experience might actually humble them enough that they can now be coached by a real coach?
No. You heard Kevin Durant in the post game last night. He wants and expects Steve Nash to be back as the head coach of this team. No.
See, that for me, what you just said, though, Dave, that would be where if I was Sean Marks and I was Joe Tsai, where I would sit down with KD and Kyrie. And I think, you know, KD would, I'm sure, make it clear that he wants Kyrie to be here. So for me, the middle ground would be, okay, well, if that's the case, you want us to, you know, to give Kyrie this extension, then we're going to decide who coaches you guys. Like, if this is the group you want, then we got to take some of this control back. We'll decide who the coach is going
to
be.
Oh, would love to be a fly on the wall for those conversations.
I don't see it going like that, but I mean, that would be the compromise for me.
And then when they say absolutely not, then what?
Then you say, no problem, guys. Thank you, Mr. Durant, Mr. Irving.
We'll see you at training camp, Mr. Irving, Mr. Durant.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. Stephen A. or Greeny? What would you like?
You know I love Greeny. Greeny loves the show. Let's go with Greeny.
Greeny loves you. Greeny doesn't.
Oh, no,
love
I think yeah,
Greeny,
ipso facto
no,
loves the
stop
show.
It. Greeny's not
ipso
facto and company.
If he loved the show, he'd know the name of the show. The name is not DiPietro and Company. If we had nine people on the show and he referred to the show as DiPietro and Company, fine. So basically, I'm
people.
Dave Company.
That's
there's
the
two
zoo.
People.
No. There's four people on this show. Not two. Four.
In the name of the show, how many people are named?
For Greeny, there's one.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying, though, is if he likes me and he listens to the show, then he likes the show. So hey, there you go. He likes you.
Don't make excuses for Greeny.
Ipso facto.
No ipso facto. He doesn't like me.
Let me ask you a question.
Which is fine.
Let me ask you a question. What would you do if, like, around October, you're pumpkin picking, and that was the pumpkin that you ended up with that I sent you?
What happened?
I'm just asking. I sent you a picture of a pumpkin. What would you be like? What would you do if you were a pumpkin, you know, pumpkin picking? And that
you
was
sent
the
picture of a pumpkin. I didn't see the picture of the pumpkin. Oh my goodness! That can't be real. that would be your pumpkin. Oh my God, that's a bizarro picture. I can explain nothing. Like, I can't even lead anyone down a path of what it looks like. I can say nothing.
How does that even happen?
I mean, how did you?
What would you do?
Let me ask this question: how did you stumble upon this picture?
I have no idea.
What were you Googling?
I was Googling. I was trying to respond to Hurley's.
I want the truth. What did you Google to get this photo?
I don't think we could say what he Googled to look to find
Googled,
that.
I Googled fruit that looks like genitals.
You're gonna be arrested. They're gonna come to your home and arrest you. Fruit that, and you know what? I mean, and the fact that it brings you to these sites.
God.
There's someone in his home right now. What's the new website we're going to create, honey? Oh, the fruit that looks like genitals. Let's get that up and running. I mean, you are just a bizarro guy. Fruit that looks like genitals. All right, let's take a listen to Greeny. Here he is from the show, Greeny. This is an all-time low for Kevin Durant.
This one goes on KD's permanent record. This series does not get forgotten. People still talk about LeBron James from a series he played in the finals 11 years ago against Dallas. If this was LeBron James, people would be talking about this series for the rest of his life.
See, I said this earlier.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, if this is LeBron, you would destroy him.
Well, I think that's a testament to how great LeBron is. As good as KD is, I still think LeBron's at a different level.
Like is LeBron, is it even a debate, though?
No, I don't. Well, I think for some people it is occasionally. I personally don't. I think we take for granted how good LeBron James is.
The guy went to, what, 8 consecutive NBA finals?
8 straight.
He took a Cavs team to the finals that had almost no talent around him.
Yeah. Like, that's LeBron James, right? And even, I know the Lakers, I mean, you want to talk about disappointments this season. I mean, the Lakers are right there with the Nets.
I don't think so.
See, I do, because I can't see, like, as much as we're sitting here talking about the path moving forward for, you know, Brooklyn, like, what's the path moving forward for?
Well, I think that's a fair
point. Lakers.
But I think the trump card for me is 2 years ago the Lakers won a championship.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. Like, I mean, LeBron James, and as much as people want to discredit it because it was all the time off and how it's set up perfectly for, you know, AD being rested, that they won in the bubble. I don't care. Like, I mean, that's not an easy situation to all of a sudden jump into a bubble being isolated from everybody else. And they won a championship. Championship, fine. Done. Mission accomplished in L.A. So I agree with you there. I just think as good as KD is, and we'll see when it's all said and done, you know, where he ranks as far as, you know, the greats to play the game. Like, when we talk about LeBron James, it's Michael, and then it's
LeBron.
It's LeBron.
Yeah. And if I asked you, where does KD rank in that? For me, he's not even in that conversation.
Well, not now. Not now. Greeny's right. I mean, this is, legacy-wise, this will be one that sticks with him.
This really hurts.
Especially because he left Golden State. Say what you want. Easy way out. Listen, they play the right way. KD stepped up in the biggest moments. He was the finals MVP in both of those championships. Like, he left an unbelievable situation to now do his own thing and prove to people that he could, you know, he could start a team on his own, him being the focal point of that team, and win a championship. And they haven't, right. It's been 3 years and they haven't delivered that yet.
Not even close. Not even close. And I love the fact of start a team on his own. He started a team with Kyrie Irving, and then they bring in Ben Simmons eventually, right, off of James Harden. So, again, there was a lot of talent there, and they underwhelmed everybody. Gene in Fort Lee. Good morning, Gene. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
We're doing great.
To talk about the Nets situation, I think what Kyrie said about, like, we're going to manage this team was kind of outrageous, just because I don't think that he's earned that right, especially him. And honestly, I don't think KD's earned the right. The biggest problem that I think with the Nets is that they don't have a true leader, because I don't think Kevin Durant is the leader. I don't think he wants the pressure of being a leader. I think he tried to embrace it this year, but he couldn't handle it. Like Steve Nash basically being Mr. Positive all the time. Like yesterday, Stan Van Gundy, He had mentioned that Kyrie had three fouls and Kirby had three fouls, and they were still in the game. And the situation, they didn't even be in the game. And Kirby had to walk up to Steve Nash and tell him to take him out the game. I just think that's
Curry had three early ones. You're right. Curry had three early fouls. Yeah, really early.
So I just personally think that this. I know Kyrie says he's going to resign, and I know KD wants Kyrie, but do the Nets really extend him to a long-term contract? Because to me, I'll pay the guy year by year.
He's not going to agree to that.
He's not going to accept that, though, Gene.
He's not going to accept that. If he opts out of his, I mean, he's got a player option right now. So
but he's going to opt out of that.
Well, yeah. Well, there's a couple things you can do. I mean, the player option's for, you know, $36.9, almost $37 million. So he can opt into that and get extended. Or he can opt out of that and then be eligible for the 5-year, $245.5 million.
Which is what he's going to do.
Contract.
And now you're the Nets and you have to decide if that's what you want to do with him.
I mean, is it really the decision, though, or is it KD's decision?
I mean, you've handed all the power to Kevin Durant here?
He runs the entirety of the team? Listen. Kyrie pretty much told you how this thing is run after the game. He told you. He's here with Kev. That really entails us managing this franchise together alongside Joe and Sean.
Sit down with Sean and Joe. How great is that? I mean, you were MIA for half the season. You finally come back and you're going through the motions, and now you think that you're the decision maker? And you know what? You might well be, but you think you have all the power that it runs through you?
I think he really truly believes that, yes.
I think he really truly does. And they want to make it fun this offseason.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, too. I mean, I get it. Listen, it's like I'm sure it would be every athlete's dream, right? Like, if one of my best friends was awesome at hockey, too, and I had the chance, you know, to go someplace and play with that friend and try to win a championship, that would be great. But all this talk about, you know, having fun and just hooping and everything else, that's not, like, listen, like, winning's not always fun. Like, winning's tough, man. Being on a great team, like, sometimes, like, you don't always get your way, right? Like, there's sacrifices have to be made. On great teams. That's why that's the beauty of a team sport.
Yeah, but maybe it doesn't matter that much to him.
I don't think you're wrong. And that would be one of the questions I'd have to ask if I was Kevin Durant. I don't know if he will, but like, I mean, I'm all in. Because this is going to be like, this is on me if we don't win. So I need people around me that are as hungry to win as I am.
I think we have the answer to that already.
Well, but that's a problem. That if the two guys I'm relying on is the two other best players in the team, I have questions about that. That's a problem.
I think you have a problem. You just got swept by Boston. I think you have a lot of problems.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Yeah, by the way, so I mentioned this earlier. We were talking about Ben Simmons, how he had a Ben Simmons and his agent Rich Paul had a sit down with the Brooklyn Nets brass.
Yes.
So, and I had said that, like, he even, I mean, up till, you know, yesterday, which was game four, that he still had the hope that if they made it past game four, that he could still find a way back. And I was like, did I read that right? And yeah, I'm sitting here looking at it. He wants to play and perform for the Nets as soon as possible and still wasn't ruling out that happening this season if the Nets survive Monday.
I mean, but stop. I mean, at some point, how many times before we're the fools? Like, do you think he was going to come back and play game five?
Well, but that's what I don't understand, though. So you wake up Saturday because you can't play. Yeah, I can play Monday, but I can't play Saturday. So you
which makes no sense in its own
right. Which makes no sense. So you wake up and, you know, you have, your back is sore. So now you can't play Monday. And then you have a meeting, and it's not just the back anymore. Now there's still, you know, substantial mental hurdles to get over. Well, if that's the case, then how are you still holding out hope that if they survive Monday, that you're going to get back into this series?
It feels like a charade, doesn't it?
I mean, this is the problem with that.
So when was Game 5 supposed to be? Game 5 was going to be, what, Thursday?
Wednesday.
So from Monday to Wednesday, all the mental hurdles that he had to get over, he would be able to get past.
Yeah, back and apparently all the mental hurdles.
No, here's the thing. They were going to do, it's the kid that doesn't have the homework. Do you have it? No, but I'll bring it for you tomorrow. And then you go to school the next day. Do you have it? No, but I'll bring it for you tomorrow. At some point, the teacher has to say, I'm never going to see the homework.
Yeah, I just don't. It's a shame, too, because when he, you know, he's a good player. And if mentally he was right, and I know he can't shoot, but even, you know, even without the ability to shoot, like, I mean, you're talking about a guy who defensively is one, I mean, at his size, can defend all five positions, can get out and run. I mean, he's got a great handle, can facilitate. Like, I mean, there are a lot of things he does really well. It could really help.
I almost don't even remember. It's been so long since I've seen him play.
Well, I mean, there was at one point where people were talking just because of, you know, the way he played, his size and everything else, that he was a jump shot away from being LeBron James, was the conversation about him.
Oh, okay. And is the jump shot any better than it was the day he came into the NBA?
No. Or the free throw shooting? No.
No.
It's not.
It's awful. It's a major problem.
Well, because therein lies the point, though, that a lot of people will go back to is he one of those guys that you start to question, does he love playing the game and want to do whatever it takes possible to be the best he can be? Or is he just happy being here, making this kind of money and being an NBA player?
How could you say the former? How could you say that?
Well, I don't think you can.
I mean, his shooting is as bad as it was the day he came into the league.
Well, it's worse now, though, because he won't even do it.
Right, because now he's scared. Now it's in his head. So, I mean, I stand by this, and I said this the other day. People say, you're out of your mind. I don't think he ever plays for the Nets.
Yeah, but where are they moving him, man? They have, I mean, you're talking about 3 years and $114 million left on that deal.
I don't know where they're going to move him.
3 years, $114.
But do you have confidence that at some point he decides, you know what, let me get back on the court?
Well, I think he'll get back on the court.
I don't know.
At some point, he's going to have to get back on the court. They're not going to just keep paying him, Dave.
I fair enough, but I don't know. Listen, Doc Rivers said, I don't know if I can win a championship with this guy, and that set him off to the point that he never played there again.
Listen, Doc Rivers got to focus on winning a closeout game, is what Doc Rivers needs to focus on.
How good would that be? If they were the first team in the history of the NBA to blow a 3-0 series lead?
If they fall apart, too?
Oh, how good would that be?
I don't know if that would be great for the station.
Gunlin would go missing?
I don't know if he could bounce back from that. I don't.
But wouldn't that be good for the state? You enjoy my misery.
Yeah, but you're so mentally tough, though, that you, I mean, you rebound.
I'm not mentally tough. I'm weak.
No, but it actually makes you better, though, because now all of a sudden you use that pain to lash out at others and make sure everyone else
feels.
That's
true. I get angry, and now everyone becomes a whipping target for me. Yes.
It's not fair.
No, Andrew, I think he ends up.
You think he crumbles?
I think he ends up on some.
No, because I've had it.
Some mancation in a city motel all cuddled up in one, you know, one queen size bed with.
You ruin everything.
Maybe like a Mekhi Becton cuddling situation.
Yeah.
God, it was horrifying.
I don't know if a queen-size bed would be enough for Mekhi and six buddies. How about Doc Rivers has now lost seven of his last eight opportunities to close out a series? He has 31 such losses in those games.
31 closeout games that he's lost?
Oh.
That is a whopping number, huh?
Yeah.
That is a big number. All right. So let's play this, then we'll get to the calls, and then I just want to touch on the DeGrom update in a moment as well. This, to me, what you're about to hear, defines the Nets. Kyrie Irving felt like this was obviously not a good season, and on top of that, he plans out, he charts out the offseason plans for the Brooklyn Nets.
When I say I'm here with Kev, I think that it really entails us, you know, managing this franchise together alongside Joe and Sean and just our group of family members that we have in our locker room and in our organization. It's not just about me and Kev. I don't want to make it just about that. We're cornerstones here, but, you know, we have a few other guys that are on contract. And I think we just got to make some moves this offseason and really talk about it and really be intentional about what we're building and have some fun with it, make it enjoyable. And, you know, hopefully we get to start from day one, just as a squad and as a family, and we just really worry about us.
All right, so for a couple of things I pick up on that. First of all, was this season not enjoyable, right? Because we have to make it enjoyable. So that implies that this was not an enjoyable season, right?
Yeah, make basketball fun again, yep.
So this is not what he was looking for. And second of all, and this is the one that I will never get over, it's me, Kevin, Joe, Sean. We got to sit down and figure this thing out.
Yeah, actually, you know what I took from that? It was when he said, you know, me and Kevin, the cornerstones, and then we got Ben, and then we got some other guys. That is not the kind of the camaraderie or culture you want to build inside of a locker room. Because, I mean, guys already feel that way. That it is. As much as you want to say it's not, it is about you and Kev.
Of course,
it is.
It's all about him.
The whole team, you have control of the team. And we're not just other guys. We're the other guys that you need to try to win a championship. We're the guys that are going to have to do all the dirty work.
They are so replaceable to him. You take this guy and replace him with that guy. As long as it's me and Kevin and maybe Ben Simmons, we could bring in any number of guys. Doesn't matter who it is.
And the fact that it's why am I blanking on his name?
Where are you looking?
Griffin.
Blake Griffin?
Blake Griffin, yeah. He's going to be the one that has to come in and give you the energy that you need.
He was
like,
good
he's
last
the
night.
One. Well, no, he was. I mean, in the time he played in the series, when they finally decided to play him, huh? Yeah, he fought his ass off. He did. He worked hard. Like you could tell that there was a sense of urgency with him the way he played. But it shouldn't be on him to be that guy. I mean, that guy wasn't even in the rotation.
He's a guy that might not play in a postseason game, so you can't rely on him to bring the energy. Of course not. All right, let's get to some of these calls. They're all lined up. 1-800-919-3776. Mike in Queens. Mike, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking the call. Before I ask my question, I want to jump in on Kyrie. Kyrie is full of crap because he have all these causes and all that stuff, but when there was a report about Josiah being linked with China cruelty groups, he's been staying silent. Perhaps it's because the guy who's going to pay a cool $50 million for 5 years. So he has stayed silent about that. He's not reliable. It is completely disgusting what happened in Brooklyn. With the talent that they have, they should at least be on this series. I thought this was going to be an iconic, classic series. It wasn't. It was an embarrassment. My question is to you guys, in the embarrassment of sports, does this equal to the Raptors coming back from a 3-0 deficit or supersedes it? Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Oof. So what would be worse, this or if you're the Sixers and you lose the series, you lead 3-0?
The Sixers.
You think that's worse, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you haven't won. I mean, the series is over. No one. Like, there's been plenty of teams that have been swept. There's not one team in NBA history that's lost after leading 3-0.
You would love that, right?
If the you're Sixers one of collapse. One. Yeah, of course I would.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Can't stand Philly.
Would you reach out to Gundling or would you let him be?
I would give him some space initially.
Uh-huh.
I'd send him one of those pumpkins.
Maybe you now do you think if the Sixers lose this 3-0 series lead, I'm moving right
hey
past
there.
That. Do you think that the station sends him like an edible arrangement?
No.
We're so sorry for your loss. Please accept this sliced pineapple.
Oh, it is a bright future.
No, I think the station hates Philly as much as we do. This is what you get. I mean, this is what you get when you eat horse crap after you win a Super Bowl. That's no way to celebrate.
I meant to be saying poop.
You can't be trusted to win another championship.
Who eats horse manure?
No, especially after you won it. If someone told me I had to eat the horse poop to win it, now I'd think about it.
Like,
I don't eat the horse poop after.
You have to be. You're out there. You're celebrating.
I'm so jacked up right now. I need to eat this horse poop.
And there's one person that says, guys, I got the answer. That horse poop. Let's ingest it. And then other people follow him.
Yeah, as they shimmy down the Vaseline duck poles.
Right. Like, that's got to be one step up from, like, the Hail Bop guy, no? Right. Just drink this. Put on these Nikes, this black outfit, and drink this. Let's go to Jose in North Carolina. Jose, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Dave, I kind of just wanted to lean off what you kind of just said about Ben Simmons. I don't think he plays. Like Quinn Cook was saying yesterday on KJM, I was listening a little after your guys' show. He was talking about, like, Rick, you could attest to this, like how teammates would look at you sideways and maybe not want to play with you anymore. You were talking about, like, how your teammates used to self-assess or something like that. Well, can you play or not? So I don't know.
You're a good listener, Jose.
Thank you. I don't know if... me, personally, I would not want him back in that locker room. I'd be like, sure you did.
Yeah, but you heard Kyrie.
You heard Kyrie.
I mean, that's the problem. Because, listen, I would have a hard time with that, too. Like, because at this point, I mean, if we're just talking about back soreness, so what the doctors have told you, but once you get the epidural and they start ramping you up, what the doctors are telling you is that we don't think you can do further damage.
Correct.
And you'll have to play through the pain. Right? Like, that's what they're telling you.
And otherwise, if they thought you could do the pain or discomfort is too much for me to push through.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if they told you, like, if they just shut him down, you'd be like, okay, I mean, this is serious because they don't want him to do any more damage to this thing.
You're 100% right. If they said you can't play, or if you play, there's a chance that you're going to worsen it and need surgery, I would understand that. But they are not telling you that. They're telling you just the opposite. You got the shot. You're not in any real danger. You can play, and if it's uncomfortable, it's uncomfortable, but you're not going to do any real damage. And he says, no, I don't want to play.
And he says no. And then on top of that, he goes with now, after this meeting, that there's also mental hurdles that we're still dealing with.
Right. I mean, you as a hockey player.
Keep your mouth shut then. But then keep your mouth shut. Don't show up dressed all fancy on the bench. Keep your mouth shut. Don't tell people or give out this false hope that you're going to be back for game four. Don't do it. Just keep your mouth shut, and you're back when you're back.
Well, don't worry. I'll be back for game five. You're never coming back.
Because everyone at this point of the season hurts. Something hurts.
Well, that's the thing. You as the hockey player. I mean, watching the NHL postseason when you learn after, like, well, oh, that guy had a broken jaw. He had a fractured femur. This guy had a broken ankle. This guy was playing with a dislocated wrist. And then Ben Simmons can't go out there and play in the postseason?
Dave, I was getting my, and this is no joke, this is God's honest truth, when I was trying to make my Fakakta comeback, and I was, whatever it was going to take, I was going to try to find my way back to the NHL for at least one game. I was getting my left ankle, I was getting it drained and cortisoned to practice. I could not walk. If you asked my wife what I looked like walking onto the ice for a game, she would have, at one point she asked me, she says, what are you doing? I said, what are you talking about? She's like, you can't walk. Why do you think you can play goalie? To practice, I was cortisoning my ankle.
Yeah, because you wanted to and you would do anything. And that's the opposite of some of these guys. Brian in Manhattan. Good morning, Brian. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. I think you're missing it here. I think conversation about Ben Simmons can come later. The Ben Simmons story is just giving sort of a distraction for the KD Kyrie show. But I think there's good news in all of this. One is that from looking at the playoffs this year, team basketball is winning over ISO ball. Playing good defense is winning over the notion of we'll outscore them, sort of the Kyrie KD approach. And we're finding out that coaching matters, that coaching isn't done by players. It's done by coaches who have experience. There's many of them on the bench. I mean, the Celtics, the Bucks, the Heat, and even Toronto last night beating Philly are examples of that in the East. And if you look at the West, Phoenix plays team ball. Memphis plays team ball. You know, we got surprising stuff out of Minnesota and the Pelicans that are not solo players, you know, taking control of the game. And the Warriors is probably the best example. Ball movement, they play together. That's a system, by the way, that KD was unhappy in.
Yeah, he didn't like it there, Brian.
You know, he wasn't in charge. Lakers not making the postseason and Nets getting swept is a really good thing for the NBA. I mean, I'm in full disclosure, I'm not a Nets fan. I hate ISO ball. I think the idea of talent and skill is such overrated term. Basketball's a team game.
Well, that's not true.
You still need star players. And thanks
no,
to the
you need the right
no,
mix.
But
you still, I mean, you still need, I mean, listen, they have John Morant. You go through every team, there are stars. Giannis, right? I mean, every single team, Embiid.
No, but the beauty of Memphis is that team is equipped. That team was put together the right way, and they play the right way. So if they do lose John Morant, right, for an extended period of time, they find ways to still win, right? That's the beauty of what they've done there. I don't think he's wrong, because I think that at the end of the day, those are important things. Like, when you get to the postseason, coaching does matter.
It does, but you still need the star player.
Yeah, and you need, and that's what makes a team for me like Golden State so special, is that in order for that to happen, your stars, your best players have to be willing to be coached
and
buy into the system.
And that's why they're good every year. It's exactly why. All right, let's spend a couple of seconds, and then we'll get to Santiago with his three stars. Jacob deGrom. He undergoes the MRI. They're not going to tell you what it is. They're not going to tell you what it says. They can't read it. They finally do, and they come out and say they'll redo the MRI, healing nicely, and they'll redo the MRI in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, healing nicely, not healed.
No, not healed.
So now he'll, I mean, it sounds like from what, I mean, what I'm reading is that he was just completely shut down, right, so this thing could heal. And now he'll start getting into the, you know, the strengthening rehab portion of this thing. But so now it's another 3 weeks. You'll get another round of
So another 3 weeks brings us to what, May 15th in that range?
Well, yeah, I mean, 3 weeks without doing, I mean, just doing rehab stuff. Then all of a sudden, I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, it looks like it's healed. Then he'll start ramping up the throwing stuff, which is going to take at the very least probably, what, 6 weeks at the least, if all things go well.
So right now I offer you July 15th. You take it?
Yep.
Yep, I think so. Here's what I would take. If you tell me at any point this season I'm going to get healthy, Jacob DeGrom, I would take that.
Yeah, I don't care when it is.
If it's August 1, I take it. If it's September 1, I take it. Because I think they have enough to tread water until this guy comes back healthy.
You know what they say too, Dave? The old cliche, getting a healthy Jacob DeGrom back, it's like making a move at the deadline.
Oh, it sure is. All right, speaking of a move at the deadline, Raymond, 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars. Number three.
Number three is going to go out to our missing NFL draft analyst, the one and only Mel Kiper.
He shouldn't be getting a star.
Well, the plan's gone, but we were supposed to hear from him today. We're hoping we hear from him tomorrow. I've got this
not
image
hoping.
In my...
Not hoping, better.
I've got this image in my head of him just sitting somewhere between, you know, takes on ESPN TV. He's double-fisting the cans of whipped cream and howling like a werewolf. I'm kind of concerned.
If I see him on Get Up at like 8:15 this morning, I'm going to be pissed.
He's going to be. Oh, he's going to be all over the place.
Oh, no.
Number two.
Bye-bye, Brooklyn Nets. It's been a fun 12 months here. And listen, you've got to take your medicine, and you'll enjoy it for the next 24 hours, and then we'll go right back to not caring about you anymore. Haven't heard from one Net.
You hate the Nets,
well,
don't you?
Listen, we're getting it all out of the system. We're not going to talk about them again until the season comes back around. Here's Goran Dragic. No excuses.
It was difficult, but, you know, I'm that guy who doesn't like excuses. So, you know, I've been a part of the teams that we didn't look for that, and I'm not even looking, you know, for those excuses. We were just not good enough, and they were just better.
He will not be back next year, I guarantee.
At least he didn't have a bad steak. Thank you.
I love that.
Number one.
Good point about the bad steak. We're going to go right to the inappropriate text that we be getting in the group chat. Listen, I have to take courses as a Disney employee to like avoid these type of situations. And Rick, I'm starting to think that you might be the cause for some of these. Although you're not alone, I've got to say you're not the only offender in these type of things. So we'll see where the text goes in the future.
I'll get you a pumpkin just like that for Halloween, Raymond.
Oh,
that
dear.
Was really unsightly, really unsightly. All right, great job. I can't even believe that this goes on. Great job by you, Raymond, as you usually do. And now we bring in from KJM the great Jay Williams.
Hey, Dave.
Jay, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm doing great. It's Rick, it's good to hear your voice. I'm glad the family's okay. We've missed you.
I appreciate that,
there's only
that,
so
Jay.
Much of Dave I can take every single day.
You know what? Why?
Way,
why do you do that to me?
Well, I'm always going to build you up. It was a lot. It was a lot to take in. But you were great.
Well, I don't even know.
Don't you love like when it's like nice. a back, like handed slap and a compliment
at
the same
nice.
Time, Dave?
Well, you know what? I was going to be nice to you about your disaster of a basketball team, but boy, the Nets really sucked, huh?
Yeah. Let me tell you my big issue. Last night, I heard Charles Barkley use a bus rider reference, and I don't know what he was using it towards, but I want to make it applicable to this. So in life, guys, there's bus drivers and there's bus riders. And I think for most of the time with the Nets that KD has been a bus rider. Even on paper, you think he's a bus driver. The bus driver for this team has been Kyrie Irving. Whether it went back to the decision to go to Brooklyn, right, in which KD kind of came. It wasn't like KD's choice. It was like, hey, Kyrie's going. KD's going to go. Fine. If it goes back to Kyrie taking time with George Floyd, which it turned into a thing, fine. If it went into the pandemic, there's a lot of situations where KD always had to acquiesce. And last night, I saw a different type of KD. I saw a KD that says, you know what? Regardless of whatever's going on, it's on. I got it. I got it. I'm going to try to get us there. Now, he missed a free throw down the stretch, but he took 30 shots. He was aggressive. I didn't see him dap up Kyrie, do any of this stuff. And my thing is, in order for the Nets to win a world championship, there needs to be that influential shift where KD is that guy that says to Kyrie, yeah, you might be my brother. I love you. I would do anything for you. But if you're not willing to get on my page, you too, Ben Simmons, if you're not willing to get on my page and my standard, then this ain't the place for you. But that shift needs to happen where KD is the bus driver and Kyrie can no longer drive this bus as a leader. He has to be a dynamic, prolific scorer, but you can't follow the influence or energy of Kyrie. It has to be KD setting the tone.
I hope you're proud of yourself too, by the way, Jay. I heard you all day yesterday killing Ben Simmons for the clothes, where he was sitting on the bench. Poor guy couldn't even sit on the bench because of you.
It's
because
of you.
But Rick, it's not because of me. I will pose this to you guys. Serious thought. if you're going through some mental issues, why would you want to bring more attention to yourself while you're dealing with mental issues?
You wouldn't.
Why? I don't understand.
If I was dealing with a sore back, would I be sitting on the bench anyway? No.
Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore. And you try to reason, you try to find, ways to like understand who people are, and I get it. But after a while, you're just like, you know what, man? Like, you're drawing too much attention. You're distracting the team. Like, remove yourself and let the team focus on what's on the court instead of what's on the sideline when you're wearing New York Knicks colors on the Brooklyn Nets game.
Well, he listened to you, and now everyone else can listen to you in just moments here on 98.7 ESPN. What is coming up on the big show today, Jay?
We're digging deep into this. And also, I would ask you guys this question. Which New York team do you think will win a championship quickest?
That's my baby. You stealing that from last week, huh?
Yeah.
I told you I listen every day, Dave.
So you heard that last week on the show, and you said, you know what, guys, I got something in the bag, and now you're busting it out this week, huh?
Hey, that's what the greats do. You know, isn't that flattering, Dave? We copy your best material.
Now, will you give me any credit for that?
The Mets.
Definitely not.
I'm going to go with the Mets.
The Mets? Ooh. Yep.
The Mets.
Yep.
Just a huge dump on your Rangers, huh?
Not on the Rangers, Rick? You?
Oh, I'm going to listen. I'm sticking with the NHL, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Are you going to wear Rangers crazy attire in the next broadcast?
Somebody has to. Yeah, listen, his master's, bud. You never know what's going to happen.
All right, Rick, please. let the man go. He has a show to do. Jay, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
All right, there you go. That is Jay Williams.
I know you did some hacky stuff while I was away. I knew you did hacky stuff.
Hacky stuff is great radio. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg and...
Ben Simmons is not here.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.